Right, welcome everybody. We're delighted to be covering another topical subject today, and that is the big world of consumer. Already this week we've had data from March, out of date, worst UK retail sales decline over 5% since records began, and obviously April is going to be materially worse. Now we're very lucky to be joined by somewhat of an expert in this space, Chris Wickham, a number one rated analyst in food and consumer coverage, and he can hopefully give us a bit of insight how all of these sectors are going to be changed when we come out of lockdown, how they're going to deal with the very deep recession, which models are the ones that are going to do best, and which companies are doing far better than the number of leading brands that have gone into administration. Over to you, Chris. Lots to cover there.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I mean, like I say, I would always liken this kind of crisis to a wild teenage party where everything gets completely out of control. And there are always sort of various phases as to what happens. And you start off with the drinking and then the activity and then some outrageous things take place and an enormous amount of damage is done. And eventually the parents get home and then the thing, people have to sleep, they wake up, and then really sort of into the sort of Monday, Tuesday evening, finally they work out how much damage has actually been done and what it's cost them and how they're going to sort out the repair work. And that's a little bit like where we are right now with the world economy, the British economy, households, and the coronavirus, and you know, desperately trying to find a solution to the problem and working out at the end of the day, everybody has in the back of their mind, how's it all going to be paid for? And now clearly that's going to have some impacts on sort of government spending, people's confidence, and what happens to share prices in the consumer sector. But I think from an investor perspective, you've got two priorities. Now, number one, can I sleep at night? Is what I own right now going to be able to survive the current crisis? And then two, what are the winners and the losers in the long term? I mean, put simply, and I mean, they're very large companies and they're American companies. Year to date, we've seen absolutely amazing performances from both Netflix and from Amazon. Why? Because people want to stay at home and watch movies, share price up 29% Netflix, and also because people want to have an enormous amount of stuff delivered to their houses, Q26% rise year to date in the share price of Amazon. But we've got some very good examples here in the UK. And in particular, when I look at, you know, see what's happened to the stock market and what's happened to people's savings, and you see that the FTSE's down 24%, you see that the 250 index, where we've got a lot of smaller, slightly smaller companies, down 29%, but the much smaller index, the 350 share prices are down 25%. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself, but within all that, you know, what sort of company is going to be gaining? Now, clearly the first thing you've got to think of is people that deliver to the home. I mean, I, very early on from my own personal experience, was told that the reason why Majestic were having trouble processing orders is because they're used to processing 3,000 orders a day for the wine warehouse. And you know, very early on in the COVID-19 crisis, that number went up to 20,000 a day. Now, certain people, you know, within our own coverage companies, have also been very successful in bucking the trend. One company I like very, very much is Being Gear for Music. I mean, they are an online retailer. They sell musical instruments online, and they're very well suited to being very resistant in this kind of crisis. And you know, sure enough, their share price is up 11% year to date. And we see similarly with some other companies that are selling predominantly online. We've seen that with Boohoo, up 6% year to date against that terrible background for most shares. And then when I look at the famous sort of food retailer that delivers online, Ocado, their share price is up 26%. And now Ocado is quite an interesting example, because if you contrast that, the share price of Tesco year to date is down 8%, share price of Sainsbury's is down 13%. So clearly there are some winners and losers at the current stage of the crisis. What you've then got to do is ask yourself the question, what's going to happen long term? Now, what was the most famous, what's the most sort of thing, memorable thing that happened in the real, you know, time when it all hit home in the UK that was a massive crisis, was the cancellation of football and the cancellation of the pub. Now, it's going to be a long time before the pub opens, and it's going to be a long time before football gets back. What you've got to ask yourself is, you know, will people, those businesses return to normal? And I think the answer is quite clearly yes. It's going to take quite a lot the moment the pubs are open to stop people going to them, and people will start watching football again. The real question is what happens to people's behavior when it comes to retail? Because retailers have clearly been waiting for a very, very long period of time to switch from being premises-based to being online-based. As you know, I pointed out earlier, the American company Amazon, which is a household name in the UK, has an enormous market capitalization of $1.2 trillion. And that's been accumulated over 25 years of people gradually saying, I don't want to go to a premises to purchase things, I want them delivered to my house. Now, sometimes a shock happens, and a shock is so big and a change is so large, and its impact's all embracing, but it leads to permanent changes in the way in which people behave. So I would be really advising investors to look long term at what are the online implications.
Yeah, very good point, Chris. And it's very much linked to what we're seeing now in the political discussions about how lockdown is going to be relaxed. I don't think there's going to be any sort of on-off switch, and how we're going to be changing our interaction with people, and social distancing, as you hint, is incredibly important for places like the pub where you go to meet people. And with the retailers and the restaurants, they're presumably going to have to admit far less people. They're going to have to serve food, drink in a very different way. So as society changes, you know, the hospitality sector has to adapt or presumably die as well.
Yeah, hospitality is a challenge. I mean, clearly it's a headache for the government because hospitality is 5% of the British economy. I do feel behaviourally we will ultimately return to hospitality. The question is, you know, at what point do we return to normal behaviour in hospitality, and what's happening to people's behaviour and their wealth ahead of them? Despite the fact we have a massive crisis on, an enormous number of businesses are still behaving normally. They're just doing so offline. I was talking to a board member of one of the larger European investment banks recently, and he told me that 90% of their UK staff are working normally from home, and the other 10%, the traders, are unbelievably busy just processing trades in offices. So there are huge slices of the private sector that should have been able to adapt very, very, very quickly to what's going on. The question, I suppose, really is, you know, how much appetite that private sector and how much ability it has to pick up the massive public sector bill, which will inevitably be presented to us down the track. But we're not even getting close to being presented with that bill. And so therefore, what I'd say is that people, an enormous number of people who are used to spending quite a lot of money, who haven't had their earnings affected so far, will be accumulating money they wouldn't normally have. I mean, the person who's used to going to the pub and spending £50 or £60 in the pub is suddenly finding that they're spending a fraction of that to drink the same amount of wine and beer at home. Similarly with eating out, people who might go to a restaurant spend a large amount of money, especially buying wine in the restaurant, but having everything delivered to their home, will be spending a lot less. Queue forward, people going to sporting events, people going to the theatre. So there's an enormous amount of banked up spend waiting. And so what would be quite interesting is to find a company who has things that people might want, is able to deliver those things online or to your home, but that will actually be able to increase its sales and take advantage of that pent-up demand ahead of hospitality and sporting events reopening. For example, we've been close to Ultimate Products for quite some time, and you know, there's a company that I thought might be in a position further down the track later on this year, as people have a little bit more certainty about the future. At the same time, the pubs aren't open, actually think, well, you know, I wouldn't mind spending a bit of money on my home. I think I wouldn't mind buying some new homewares, some new music equipment and things like that, which are all things that they can be buying from that particular company. So this is really where you're finding you've got some of the potential winners and some sweet spots going forward. I'd also have a look, you know, where people have held, you know, shares, they've seen them go down in value, and they're also going to be asking themselves questions about survival. And I think that's where you want to be looking at people with a robust and a resilient business model. For example, you know, one company we like a lot is Cakebox. It's a coverage company for us. That's a company that runs entirely on a franchise model. It's very, very capital light and has very good, you know, cash flow characteristics and has a very good balance sheet. That's the sort of company that will very quickly, when you come out of this kind of out of crisis, be able to quickly resume and get back to prospering on behalf of its shareholders. So I'd say it's not all total carnage out there. Short term, there have been clearly some winners. As I say, it's the likes of, you know, the likes of Ocado, the likes of Gear for Music, who are able simply to carry on with business as usual because they're delivering to people's homes. And there are some clear losers out there, you know, people who rely heavily on, you know, people, their premises retailing, as I say, the likes of the Tesco and the Sainsbury's, share prices down, and, you know, the stock markets overall. But then I'd say people should really start asking themselves a question, looking much further ahead, what's going to be the change and where am I going to be going forward? And I think the change really after 25 years of gradually creeping slowly towards online becoming more important, I think that the COVID-19 crisis, coronavirus, is likely massively to accelerate that process of people buying far more online.
Yeah. Well, that's very well summarized. And I think across all sectors, people should be looking at strength of balance sheet to ride out what is going to be a very difficult period. They should be looking at the business model. You obviously want leaders rather than laggards coming in this. And what you're saying is within the broad consumer sector, certain parts of it are going to take longer to recover. But the dominant theme is that as we change our practices, so online is the place to be. And those with the experience and already have the exposure should do best out of it.
Yeah, I think with some of those kind of things, I'm talking about, you know, strong balance sheets, growth, good concepts, good management. We'd like to say, you know, we'd like to feel that we're picking those even in the normal times. Really what I think is looking for is to find a message which is saying that after all this is over, what's the biggest change? And I think that, you know, if you have a business that can perform, that's going to perform online and take share from something where it's traditionally that business has been taking place on a premises, you're likely to be the winner. In the case of hospitality, that won't change. That's simply a business which is mandated to be on hold for now, and that will return to normal. People's behavior, people won't suddenly say, actually, I don't want to go out to the pub and socialize and meet all my friends because I've decided I'd rather stay at home and have a four pack and do it all online with a Zoom pub. That doesn't seem likely to happen. But what I think people will say is, they will say, you know, we're used now to buying more stuff being delivered. We're used to having stuff. We've got everything set up now. This has been the catalyst for changes in people's behavior. And I think those people have been very good at generating loyalty. I think they will find that they will increase their share relative to traditional premises retailing.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for those thoughts. I'm sure we're going to be coming back to you in a few months, indeed, if not weeks. So in the meantime, for anybody interested, a number of those reports and companies that Chris has mentioned are available on Equity Development website, as well as comments and other podcasts relating to how you should be viewing the current crisis. So take care, everyone.